We start with the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Today's daf is Daf Yud Beis and Menachos, and let's get going. I told you Pigel was coming, so in Menachos, it's here. We start with Pigel again today. It's not going to be like Zvachim. Zvachim, the Gemara there in Zvachim spent a lot of time in Pigel. It will be not to that degree, not to that extent, but it's here. The Mishnah starts off. Hakometz es hamincha lechol shira b'chutz o kizayis mishira b'chutz. If you do kmitzah with a karban mincha, and while you're doing the kmitzah, so you have the following intent in mind. You say to yourself, or whoever's listening, remember, we're going to assume every time we talk about machshava that there has to be articulation. We're going to that was the assumption we made in Zvachim. That's Rashi. That's Tosfos. Perhaps.
It's daf mem dalet on the face. I found it again.
Good.
There's that where he says, I'm saying Aymer.
Correct. And it's a Rashi in the beginning of our Masecht as well.
The Rambam does say it could be in the Rambam.
Right, the Rambam, one can make the argument in the Rambam that he doesn't require articulation, but we're going to assume that there's articulation. So Hakometz es hamincha lechol shirayim. So he says, I'm going to eat these shirayim, the leftovers of the karban mincha b'chutz, outside of the azara, which is already no good. Remember, mincha is kodesh kadashim, it has to be eaten inside the azara. Oh, kizayis mishara b'chutz. Either to eat the shayarim outside, or to eat a kizayis of the shirayim outside. Alahakter kamsa b'chutz, oh, kizayis kamsa. To burn the kamitza outside, or kizayis of the kamitza outside. Oh, lahakter levona b'chutz, or I'm going to burn the levona outside, so pasul. The ain bo karis. So in all these cases, so it's pasul, you disqualified, and there's no karis. Why is no karis in any of these cases? It's real simple, because this is not chutzim zman, this is chutzim kamo. Remember, in our world of pigol, okay, this takes us back all the way to Zvachim, so there are basically two different isurim. One isur is an isur of chutzim kamo, and the other one is chutzim zmano. So only the chutzim zmano has karis. Chutzim kamo doesn't have karis with it. So the Mishnah gave us a series of cases. Just an interesting note, very interesting note, although I don't know what to do with it. One of the things we just read about is that you were talking about a kizayis of the kamitza. Right? My brain's working a little slower today. A kizayis of the kamitza. Kamitza, as we discussed already now, and we discussed in detail yesterday, that's a fistful. Right? So one of the things the Mishnah describes over here is that within the fistful, your fistful contains more than a kizayis, right? Because one of the things that we're talking about over here is a kizayis of a kometz. All right.
It's an olive size, right?
Yeah. So, okay. All right. Just interesting to note. Anyway,
lechol shira lama. It's just kizayis, what does it say, the whole thing?
Right. Correct. In other words, the Mishnah's point is either all of it or a kizayis of it.
Yeah, but
once you say kizayis of it,
to do the whole thing.
Right.
The Gemara's not gonna ask that?
No. The shita of Rabbi Eliezer, which we are going to introduce ourselves to a little bit later this morning, is that you do have to burn the whole thing out. So it could be that the Mishnah is lafuke, Rabbi Eliezer, but I'm saying that. The Gemara doesn't say that. Okay, that could possibly be. Lechol shirayim lamechar o kizayis mishara lamechar. If I'm going to eat shirayim tomorrow, or a kizayis of the shirayim tomorrow, now we're in the Zman area. Okay, so you expect the word kariz coming up. Lahakter comes to lamechar, kizayis comes to lamechar. Either to burn the kumets tomorrow, or to burn a kizayis of the kumets tomorrow. Lahakter levona lamechar, to burn the levona tomorrow. Pigel v'chayav and alav kari. So now we are in classic pigel territory, and chayav kari. So I'm going to make the clarification which we did in Zvachim, and that is when we say kari over here, we don't mean for actually creating the pigel. It's an oddity. It's an oddity in this particular halacha. For creating the pigel, we'll call it alav. Right? The Torah says don't do it, but it's not an isur kari. The isur kari comes in the actual consumption. When you consume it, that's when you're going to get a chiyuv kares. Zaklal.
Zoom in the right time.
And no, well, what do you mean? After it becomes pigle, can pigle become nosar?
No, even if you consume it right after you shecht it, or
in this case, komets it.
Komets it.
Right.
Then you still get chorus if you set it off. Right?
But it is nosar, right?
Can Pigel become Nosar?
He had an intention, but that he didn't follow his intention.
I'm not sure. Okay, let's just deal with the little that I know. Zehaklal. Kol hakometz nosen zehaklal. This is a general. Kol hakometz are nosen bekli. Umolech umakter lechol davar shadaka lechol lahakter davar shadaka lahakter chutzim koma pasav ein bo kares. Okay, so as summary statements go, the Mishnah over here summarizing, you do kemitza or nosen bekli, right? Remember, by kometz, it's always a two-step process. Number one is the actual act of kemitza, and then being mekadesh the kemitza by putting it into another kli, then molich, walking it over to the mizbeach, makdir, and being makdir and actually burning the kemitza. So those are your avodas, okay? The actual kemitza, putting into a kli, walking it over, and burning the actual kemitza. Four steps to it. Remember, this parallels the four avodas that we have by our carbon zevach, by an animal. So if I do any of those things with a kavana of eating it chutzim kamo, so pasal vein bo kares, chutzes mano, pigo v'chayavan alav kares. Okay. Uvelvad shiyakriv ha-matar kemitzva so. Okay. And the Mishnah adds the point which we've seen a number of times in Zvachim, and that is, in order to get to the point of pigo, everything else has to be done correctly. If everything else is not done correctly, you don't get to the point of pigel. Ketzad krama matir kemitzvah. So the Mishnah spells it out. Kamitz b'shtika nasan b'kli v'holech v'hekter chutzes mano. So if I do the kemitzah b'shtika, meaning the kemitzah I done quietly, I don't have anything in mind, or I don't articulate what I have in mind, right? Like Rashi, according to Rashi and Tosos. And then nasan b'kli v'holech v'hekter chutzes mano, and I do any one of the other avodas, doesn't have to be the next three, any one of the other avodas, and I do a chutzes mano, oh, shekamatz chutzes mano, nasan b'kli v'holech v'hikter b'shtika, or I do kemitza with a kavana, with an intent of chutzes mano, I'm going to eat this outside its prescribed time. I'm going to burn it outside the prescribed time. Oh, shekamatz v'nasan b'kli v'holech v'hikter chutzes mano, zeu shekrav amati kemitzvah so. Okay, so that's pigel. Meaning pigel only works if everything else is done correctly. Kesa lo krav amatir kemitzvah so. So what's the what would be a scenario in which I didn't do it correctly? So the Mishnah here spells it out. Kamatz chutzim kamo. So let's say I do the kemitzah, and while doing the kemitzah, chutzim kamo, I'm not going to eat it in the azara. I'm going to go to my home. I have a house in Shari Chesed. I'm going to go home. I'm going to eat it in my home. Okay, so that's no good. I mean, having a house in Shari Chesed is really good, but eating it there is no good. Nasan b'kli v'holech v'hichter chutzles mano, or I place it into a kli, and then what happens is that I put it placed into the kli, and v'holech v'hichter chutzles mano, and I have a kavan of chutzles mano, oh, shekamatz chutzles mano, nasan b'kli v'holech v'hichter chutzim kamo. What just happened here in the Mishnah? Tarovis. I had a mixture. I mixed together different kavanas. I had a kavana of chutzes mano and chutzim kamo. Oh, shekamatz nasan b'kli v'holech v'hikter chutzim kamo. Zehu shlo krav ha-matir kemitzvah so. So that's no good. That meaning, you don't get to the point of pigel. Because you had another machshava mixed in with that, with your machshava of chutzes mano, even though the other machshava was chutzim kamo. And remember, we talked in Zvachim how chutzim mano and chutzim kamo, they're related, right? They're like first cousins. Not exactly, but you know what I mean. They're related isurim, but it doesn't matter. Once I have a tarovitz machshava, once I mix together different machshavas, I don't get to the point of pigel. Pigel has to be where I do one of the four avodas with a kavana of, I'm going to eat it outside its prescribed time, and the other ones I do correctly. The other three avodas are done properly. Then and only then do I get to a point of pigel. So that's the next point, not the next part of the Mishnah, but that's coming up in the Mishnah. Minchas chotei, minchas kenah, shekamtsan shalolishman. Now, let's talk about our minchas chotei and minchas kenah, where we learned in day one of Menachos that those are the Menachos that are brought where if I have shinui, if I have a change of intent of the actual carbon, so it disqualified. Shekamtsan shalolishman, so I do a kemitza shalolishma. Nasan b'kli v'holech v'hikter chutzes mano. Oh, shekamatz chutzes mano. Nasan b'kli v'holech v'hikter shalolishman. Oh, shekamatz v'nasan b'kli v'holech the hikter shalo lishman. So in, if I mix in any one of the avodas, a kavana shalo lishman, which we know disqualifies these menachos, zer shalo krav, amata kimitzvaso. So that's an example where I was not makir of the matir kimitzvah, so I didn't properly offer the matir. Okay? Lechol kezayis bachutz, kezayis lamachar, kezayis lamachar, kezayis bachutz, kechatzi zayis bachutz, kechatzi zayis lamachar, kechatzi zayis lamachar, kechatzi zayis bachutz, pasal ve'ein bo karis. Every one of these cases that we just described, where I basically blend together in one avoda, a chutzim komo and a chutzuzmano intent, so I don't get to the point of pigle. Again, because there's a tarob. Amar Rav Yehuda Zakla. Okay? So far in the Mishnah has been very clear, the Mishnah has been very articulate. The Mishnah went through every single scenario, almost every single scenario, and the point the Mishnah has made is very simple. In order to be pigle, you need to have only a machshava of pigle, no other machshava, no other disqualifying machshava. If you do have another disqualifying machshava, and so far up to this point of the Mishnah, at any point in time, when I say any point in time, it has to be specifically during any of the other avodas, or even in the same avoda, I have another disqualifying intent, I've uprooted pigle, I've basically prevented pigle from coming on to this particular thing. Is that me? No. Good. All right. We're good. All right. That is Amar Rav Yehuda Zakhal Machshavas Hazman Kadmal Machshavas Hamakom Pigel VeChayav Alav Karis Machshavas Hamakom Kadmal Machshavas Hazman Pasul VeEin Bo Karis. Shitas Rav Yehuda. We saw Rav Yehuda back in Zvachim. We get to review him over here in Menachos. Shitas Rav Yehuda is it does matter which comes first, right? Rav Yehuda says that if your machshava of pigel comes first, pigel meaning chutzos mano. So if that comes first, so then you are going to get to a point of pigel, even though you had a kavana of chutzim komo after the kavana of chutzos mano. Doesn't matter. Rav Yehuda says it's locked into chutzos mano. So as long as you do the other four avodas, you still have to do the other four avodas, right? You're not gonna get anywhere without doing the other four avodas. But if while doing one of the other avodas you have a kavana of chutzim komo, Rav Yehuda says doesn't matter. It's locked into chutzos mano. Your chutzim komo will not uproot your chutzos mano. And then v'chachamim amrin zevzev posel ve'in bo karis. And the chachamim says it doesn't make a difference what your order is. A tarovis is a tarovis. Once I mix in another intent into the mincha, into the avodas of the mincha, so then I have uprooted your machshava of pigel. And it is not a iser karis. Just one point before we start with the Gemara. The chachamim are doing nothing more than repeating what we saw in the beginning of the Mishnah. Meaning, right, the Tanakhama's opinion has been that Tarovitz Machshava is going to uproot Pigle, it's going to upset Pigle. And that's exactly what the Chachamim said. What you should expect the Gemara to do, and the Gemara does not do, is, right, the Gemara will ask the question in the following format. Chachamim Hainu Tanakhama, right? The Chachamim is the Tanakhama. And the Gemara does not do that. Not much Gemara, by the way. It's just a little bit of Gemara until the next Mishnah. So look at Tosfos. Tosfos discusses this very issue. V'chachamim omrim, echazev, pasul ve'in bokaris. V'im tamar hainu tanakama. Okay, good. So Tosfos asks that question. V'yishlamar da'asal lemistam kavasei t'chiyai gavna mishane beperek ha'mapela. So Tosfos takes a play from the Gemara Nida, and the Gemara in Nida asks a similar, the Gemara Nida is not talking about this scenario, but the Gemara Nida asks a similar question, and the Gemara Nida says, sometimes what the Mishnah likes to do is punctuate. And sometimes what the Mishnah wants to do is say, and we follow the opinion of the Chachamim. Hey, it is interesting. Normally if it's a Tanakhama versus the Rav Yehuda, we're going to follow like Rav Yehuda. I'm sorry, we're going to follow like the Tanakhama, not like Rav Yehuda. Usually I don't need the Mishnah to punctuate. Okay, for whatever reason, Tosfos suggests maybe that's what's going on over here. That the Gemara follows up the end of the Mishnah by saying, and the Chachamim disagree. And of course the Chachamim and the Tanakhama are one in the same position, but we like to punctuate and say that we follow the opinion of the Chachamim, meaning the Tanakhama. Okay, Ibayilahu. Alright, we start off with the Gemara with the following discussion. Somewhat complex, a little bit of Gemara coming up. From here into the next page, I'm going to assume that the remainder of today's daf is going to take us only to the next mission, not beyond. It is going to be a little bit complex. Ibailu the divrei omer shirayim shechasu bein kamitza laktara matir komet aleim v'kaimelan da'osu shirayim asurim ba'achila. Okay, let's remember what we learned just a couple days ago. In order for a mincha to be a mincha, so the classic scenario is I need to do a kamitza, right? Which is I take my hand, I put it into the flour, mixed together with the oil. I scoop out a fistful, make sure that it's level, and then I burn that on the top of the mizbeach. The rest of the mincha is called shirayim. The rest of the mincha is eaten by the kohanim inside the azara. Okay. There are many disqualifications that could happen in the course of events. So you could take it out of the azara, be psul yotzei, it could become tamei. But by menachos and by shirayim, there's a unique disqualification, which is chaser, which is that some of the shirayim could be lacking, it could be deficient. Okay, we pointed out that it is subject to a debate. What happens if it's chaser, if some of the shirayim is missing? But we have established back on Daf Test just a couple days ago that the accepted position is go through with the kmitza, right? Offer the kmitza. It's not ledivrei hakol. Not everyone agrees to that. But the position that we've adopted is that you're going to do the kmitza anyway, even though some of the shirayim is chaser. We also pointed out, it was a conclusion of that discussion, is that you can't eat the shirayim. Okay? Even though you're going to go through with the kmitza, but you can't eat the shirayim, that was pretty much our conclusion at the end of the discussion. Okay. Now that we got all that settled, so we're gonna start the discussion with the following assumption. If after the kmitza, some of the shirayim, some of the leftover becomes deficient, so I'm going to go through with the kmitza, I'm going to go forward with the kmitza, but I can't eat the shirayim. All right? That will be our default position, our assumption, heading forward from this point forward. All right, now, before we go further in the Gemara, let's talk about what kmitza does. Okay? The first thing that kmitza does, meaning when I say kmitza, burning the kmitza, right? Haktaras hakomets. What is it? What happens once I burn the kmitza? So the first thing that happens is I'm allowed to eat the shirayim. Okay. That didn't take place over here in this particular scenario. But normally, generally speaking, it allows me to eat the shirayim. What else happens when I offer the kmitza? Right? Other things can happen. We're going to talk about two things specifically. In the context of this Gemara, we know that there's a prohibition of mi'ila. Mi'ila is misappropriation. I cannot take something that belongs to the Beis Hamikdash and use it for my own personal goods, or my own personal needs and services. That's called stealing. Okay, but when it comes to the Beis Hamikdash and the Berakah Bayis, so we have the Torah gives us another term for stealing. It's called being moa behekdesh, misappropriating. Okay, there's an entire Masechta dedicated to this topic, and when we get there, we'll discuss in more detail. In the world of Karbanos, however, interestingly enough, by Karban, the rules are slightly different. In that, by a Karban, what Karban is subject to the rules of Mi'ila, it has to be Kachay Hashem. Only the part of the Karban that's earmarked and designated to go onto the top of the Mizbeach. The rest of the Karban that's not going to go onto the Mizbeach, it's not subject to the din of Mi'ila. So, for example, by shlamim, I'll give you a simple example. So by shlamim, which part of the animal is going on to the mizbeach? Very little of it, right? We'll sprinkle a little blood on the mizbeach. The imurim, the insides are going to go onto the mizbeach, but that's it. The rest of the animal is not going into the mizbeach. So by shlamim, the animal is not subject to mi'ila, interestingly enough. A carbon ola, as you would imagine, is subject to mi'ila because the entire animal is going up onto the mizbeach. Okay, that's good. That's pretty straightforward. What about by a mincha? So, right? What is the status of a mincha in terms of mi'ila's concern? So think about it, right? The mincha itself, is it going up onto the mizbeach?
Yes.
Part of it is. Not all of it. Part of it's going to go up onto the mizbeach. The kmitza is going to go up onto the mizbeach. What about the rest of the carbon mincha? Not going up onto the mizbeach. At what point do we segregate the komets and the remainder of it? So you'll say, well, when I put my hand in and take it out, so I've separated.
After the
not
burning.
Yet.
After
right.
The
after kmitza. Once I do kemitza, it releases the isser of me'ila from the balance of that mincha. Because now, once I do the kometz, and once I've allowed now the Kohanim to eat the Shirayim, that Shirayim is no longer considered Katshe Hashem, and it's therefore the Isser of Me'ila has now been lifted off the Shirayim. Okay, that's one area that we're going to focus on. A second area we're going to focus on is our discussion that we're having in our Mishnah. What else does Kometz accomplish? Well, what else Kometz accomplishes is Pigul. Meaning that if I did all the other avodas correctly, b'shtika, quietly, and then I get to kometz, I get to the kemitza, and I do the kemitza with a machshava of pigul, okay, so now the carbon has been rendered pigul because of my machshava. So, in addition to the simple pshat of the kometz being matir, the mincha, being matir, the shirayim, also there is a me'ila consideration, and there is a pigul consideration. Okay, now let's put it all together. Right? I understand. It's a lot of information. It's a lot of considerations. But now let's put it all together. So now let's envision the following scenario. I have a mincha where after I did the kemitza, now some of the shirayim has been depleted. Right? It's chaser. Somebody came along. Somebody took a little bit. I spilled a little bit. Whatever the case is, it's chaser. It's depleted. And then I go forward with the kemitza. Now we've concluded, and again, we're going to go in with the assumption, we've concluded that I can't eat the shirayim. I'm not allowed to eat the shirayim because it's chaser. We also conclude I'm going to go forward with the kemitza. Okay, so what kind of kemitza are we talking about now? Will it render the remainder of it pigul? Will it release me'ila off the shirayim? These are the Gemara's questions. Okay, so let's see the Gemara inside. We read it inside. Ibailahu. Ledivrei ha'omer shirayim shechasru ben kemitza laktar amakter kometz alein v'kaim alein da'osan shirayim nasurim ba'achila. So the Gemara sets it up. We're going to do kemitza. We're also going to assume that you can't eat the shirayim. Mahu detahanilu ha'aktara lemikvi'inu bepigol. V'lifkinu midei me'ila. So the Gemara in less than two lines asks two fundamental questions. Number one, is that burning of that kometz, will that be effective in the world of pigul? So in other words, I had a machshava of pigul while burning that kemitza, and I said I'm going to eat the carbon, the remaining part of the carbon, chutzazmano. So is that pigul going to work? Now, if you take a moment to think about it, you realize it's a sharp question. Because on one hand, I'm supposed to do the kometz. I'm supposed to burn the kometz. On the other hand, I can't eat the shirayim. The shirayim is prohibited to eat. So what's my machshava? My machshava is, I'm going to eat it chutzas mano, but I can't even eat it right now. Right. So that's question number one. And question number two is it going to release it from me'ila? Well, what normally gets released from me'ila? Something that I'm allowed to eat, because it's no longer Katshe Hashem, but I'm not allowed to eat the shirayim. So maybe this kemitza will not allow the isser of me'ila to be released. Okay? So these are the two questions that the Gemara asks. Amar Rav Huna, Afilu Rabbi Akiva. Now, Gemara now goes and attempts to answer these questions. Now, the answers to these questions is going to relate to a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. Again, more background information. Okay, great day in the world of Daf Yomi. Just a lot of information we need to know in order to just get through these short lines of Gemara. Okay, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer argue in the world of Zvachim. Let's talk about Zrikas Adam. Now remember, Zrikas Adam is the fourth avoda, right, of the significant of the essential avodas, where if I do a Zrikas Adam and I have a machshav of pigul, so I've rendered a pigul. What if by a shlamim, I took the meat outside before Zrikas Adam? Okay, so that the meat now becomes pasul, and the pasul is called yotze.
If you throw the blood,
when I throw the blood now, so can I affect things like pigul? So subject to a machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer. All right, So it sounds like, in other words, really, we're having the same discussion, aren't we? We're basically asking the question, what if I do an avodah over a carbon that I can't eat? All right. So Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer argue. So what the Gemara is going to do now is it's going to relate the machlokas Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer about doing zrika over a carbon that becomes pasul through yotzei, and our case over here, a mincha offering that becomes disqualified through chaser. And what the Gemara is going to do is going to suggest maybe they're not exactly the same. So Amar Rav Huna, Afilu Rabbi Kiva d'amar zrika molas yotzei. Look, let's start off with Rabbi Kiva's opinion, which is zrika is effective, even though the meat becomes disqualified through yotzei. All right, so what's Rabbi Kiva telling us? What he's essentially saying to us is, zrika works even though I can't eat.
That means meat would be lifted once you burn the...
So kumis. That would mean then, exactly correct. So that would mean, I'm doing okay today. That would mean that in our parallel discussion of menachos, when I burn the kometz, even though I can't eat it, it would sound like the kemitza would be effective. Meaning, meal has been lifted. Meaning, that pigle could be set up. Okay? The Gemara says, even according to Rabbi Akiva, I can hear a difference. What's the difference? Hani mili yotzi di isa be'enei upasol machmas davar acher hu. You see, in the world of yotzei, the carbon's still intact. Carbon's here. Yes, it's true the meat's disqualified, but it's almost like an external disqualification. There's nothing wrong with the meat per se. The meat's fine. It just happens to be that the Torah says I'm not allowed to eat it because I left the Azara. It's an external disqualification. But over here, what's the issue? The issue is there was a depletion of the Shirayim. Somebody lost or took away some of the Shirayim. So this is an internal disqualification. The disqualification by Mincha, or specifically by the Shirayim, is that it's not here. We're missing some of it. So the Gemara says, I could see a difference between Psul Yotzei versus a Psul Chaser. And even according to Rabbi Akiva, who says, yeah, Zrika is Moel, Zrika is effective for a Psul Yotzei, but the meat's good, it's just an external disqualification, Masha Inkin over here. So Amalei Rava Adarava. So Rava says, you know, I'm going to make an argument and I'm going to go exactly the opposite direction of my argument. Afilu Rabbi Lazar de Amar Ein Zrika Moelos LeYotzei Hanimi LeYotzei DeLeis Abifnim. I could just turn it right around. Look, Rabbi Eliezer over there in that discussion of Yotzei, of the Psul Yotzei, he obviously disagrees with Rabbi Kiva. He says that when you do Zrika over meat that was taken outside of the Azara, that Zrika is nothing. It is a non-legal zrika. It won't have any effect whatsoever. It won't lift me'ilah. It won't create pigle. It does nothing. But I could argue that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the exact opposite happens in the world of menachos. Why? Because in the world of yotzei hanimi liyotzei delesa bifnim, because I'm doing zrika. If the psul's yotzei, that means that the meat was taken out. So what am I doing zrika for? Zrika is a matir. It permits. So look around the Azara right now. Where's the animal? It's not here. It's gone. So Rabbi Eliezer there feels that Zrika is not going to help because I got nothing to show for the Zrika. But here in the world of Menachos, where the Psul is Chisaron, the Issa Bifnim, look, I know some of the Shirayim is missing, but the Shirayim is still here. I'm looking right at the Shirayim. Mahanyale Akhtara, the Akhtara would in fact work. All right. So, what did the Gemara basically say? The machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva regarding pretty much a related discussion of doing Zrika over a carbon that's inedible because of Psul of Yotzei, that machlokas may have no bearing whatsoever on our discussion over here. We can make an argument why Rabbi Akiva, who over there says it's okay, over here would say it's not okay. And I can make an argument, well, not me, but Rav Huna can make an argument why Rabbi Eliezer, in that case over there, says it's not effective. Over here would say that burning it would be effective. Okay, so far we're at an impasse, meaning I don't know. So Amar Rava Mina Amina La Dinan. So Rav is going to construct an argument.
Okay.
This is going to be a difficult construction, so we're going to try our best. Mina Amina La Dinan. Look, let's go back to our Mishnah. Okay, I come to Zamincha. Okay, our Mishnah talks about doing kamitza, and my intent is to eat either the shiraim outside or a kizayis of the shiraim outside. Utni Rabbi Chiya. Now, if I study Rabbi Chiya's brisos, which Rava does, and we do also, whatever's brought down in the Gemara, if you study Rabbi Chiya's brisos, he writes the following: Hakometzas amincha. Velotini o kezayis. Now, in Rabbi Chiya's brisa, he does not have the word o kezayis. And what we're going to be spending the next 10 minutes doing, about approximately, is we're going to try to figure out how come Rabbi Chiya didn't write the words o kezayis? Right? How come he didn't do that? Right? It bothered, right? When we learned the Mishnah, it bothered Phil. How come the Mishnah says, right? Once the Mishnah says okazayas, so then you already know that if I burn the whole thing outside, chutzas mano, it's not going to be good. In Rabbi Chiya's Bryce says he went the opposite, meaning he said the whole thing, but he didn't say the words okazayas. So the Gemara now is going to speculate why. Why didn't Rabbi Chiya write the words okazayas? My time alotini okazayas. Okay, so here the Gemara now, and this is Rava. Rava is making this argument. Rava is going to speculate in the following. Okay, you know why? Probably for the following reason. Because the case is, and again, this is speculation. We don't know this, but it's fair. It's fair speculation. So perhaps it's because what happened is I lost some of the shirayim. Meaning after I did the kamitza, I'm missing some of the shirayim. To the point in which all I have left is just one kezias of shirayim. The kevan de bematan kli behiluchu v'haktar lo masni lei. So now, remember, our Mishnah went over every one of the scenarios of putting it into another kli, walking it over to the mizbeach, haktara burning it. So la masni lei. So o kezias ashirayim bekemitza. Nami le'echol shirah lo tini, o kezayis. So once it's missing in three of the cases, we're also not going to include it in the case of the burning of the kemitza. Uktani seifa pigo v'chayavan alav karis. And what did the and now? So Rabbi Chiya's scenario in Rabbi Chiya's brises, he does not have the words o kezayis. And the Gemara is now offering the following suggestion. The reason why is because maybe it's talking about a scenario where after I did the kamitza, I lost some of the shirayim. It was reduced to a kezayis. And what the Mishnah is telling us is that it could still be subject to the rules of pigul. Okay. This is a suggestion of Rava in terms of why Rabbi Chiya did not write the words o kezayis. If this is correct, and again, I told you it's speculation, but if we're right about our speculation, so then it would come out, the answer would be affirmative. Meaning, what would be if some of the shirayim is chaser before I did the kamitza, and then I went ahead and did the kamitza, and I know I'm supposed to do the kamitza. Does that kamitza work regarding pigul? The answer would be yes. And then by extension, I guess the Gemara doesn't say this, but I guess by extension we would then say, is the issur of me'ila lifted and of the shirayim? And the answer would also be yes to that as well. Alma mahanya le haktara. So you see that haktara is effective even though you're missing some of the shirayim. Amale abani. Amale abai. So abai says, no. Meaning, look, I agree with you. Rabbi Chiya leaves out the words okazayas. But why he left out okazayas, I don't agree with your suggestion.
What if there's less than a kezayis?
Yeah, so if there's less than a kezayis, it would seem that then you can't even do the kamitza. Because you don't...
I mean, it is right, or it doesn't... I mean, it seems it doesn't specify... How could you...
Understood. I'm with you. I don't know, but in other words, one of the assumptions Gemara is going in is that in order to do kamitza, you need... It needs to be matir, something. So you need a minimum of a kezayis. Okay. Abai says, I just disagree with you. I disagree in terms of why Rabbi Chiya left out the words Okazayas. And I'm going to explain to you why he left it out. Amalei Abayi Lo. Hamani Rabbi Elazar hi. Didnana komets v'alavon v'aktoros u'minchas kohan u'minchas kohan Mashiach u'minchas desachim she'ikriv me'achas mehem kezayas b'chutz chayev. Rabbi Elazar poter ad she'yakriv es kulo. Okay. Not that long ago, we learned at the end of Masechta Zvachim the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, it's all or nothing. Now, he said it in the context of offering outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? There's an issur in the Torah called Halah B'chutz, offering a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. We learned that the Tanakhama's position over there is, as long as you offer part of it outside, a kezayis of it outside, that's going to be sufficient. Rabbi Elazar over there in that Mishnah said, no, you either offer all of it outside, or you're not chayiv kares. Okay, so the Gemara says, so what do you see from Rabbi Elazar? It's all or nothing. So, kevan de bahaktara kemitza, lo masni le o kezayis, so mikomsa bechutz bishirayim, nami lo masni le o kezayis. So, in other words, since in the world of haktara, in the world of burning, you can't use those words okazayas, according to Rabbi Elazar, because it's all or nothing. So that's why okazayas was left out of the other cases as well. So fine. So Abayi says to Rava, your conclusion is not necessarily the right conclusion. Why did Rabbi Chiya leave out the words okazayas? It's not because Rabbi Chiya was discussing a case where, after doing kemitza, I lost some of the... No, that's not, has nothing to do with it. It has to do with the fact that fundamentally Rabbi Chiya subscribes to the rule of Rabbi Eliezer, which is all or nothing. And that's true in the world of Akhtara. So I can't talk about a case of, I'm going to burn a kezayis of it. There's no such thing. I'm going to burn all of it because I agree with Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar... All right, fine. You want to tell me that he subscribes to the rule of Rabbi Elazar, that's all or nothing. Well, let's define what all is. Right? That's important. Meaning either I burn all of it, or it's not significant. In the world of Menachos, burning all of it means burning the komets and the Lavona. Remember, with every mincha offering, with most mincha offerings, so there is a requirement to burn the kemitza, right? Your fistful of the flour on the mizbech, plus the lavona. And those two are essential to burn. So if Rabbi Elazar subscribes to the rule of all or nothing, so what our Mishnah should be reading is burning the kemitza and the lavona. Okay? And it doesn't say that. So it's hard to argue that our Mishnah is subscribing to the rule of Rabbi Elazar.
So there won't be any piggle then.
And there shouldn't be, right? In other words, and the burning of the kemitza by itself should be a non-significant act. So, Rabbi Elazar, halakter comes to lakter comes to lavonta mi bailei. Did not, in fact, we learned in the Mishnah. Hakomets valavona shiakriv etzacha mehem b'chutz chayev. Rabbi Elazar poter ad shiakriv et shneihem. Rabbi Elazar could not say it any clearer that in order to be chayev on halah b'chutz, I need to burn both. Consequently, in order for it to be significant inside, I need to burn both. Both the kemitza and the lavona. Gemara's answer in defense of this Abayi approach, lo nitzricha ela lekomets deminchas chote. Oh, listen, there's not always lavona, right? The minchas chote doesn't have lavona. Right? And the minchas kenos also doesn't have lavona. So, maybe the Mishnah was describing the minchas chote. The Gemara says, really? Meaning that our Mishnah, which is a very general discussion of Menachos in general, and how we can make piggle out of Menachos, you're telling me that our Mishnah is talking about Menachos Chote? And to give away the punchline, the Gemara is going to basically say, yeah. But we'll go through the drama. The Ichbel Tana La'ashmi'in and Komets to Menachos Chote? Really? That's what our town is going to do? And the Gemara says, yeah, in. V'chein ki asa Rav Dimi, amar Rav Elazar, komets deminchas chotehu, v'Rav Elazar hi. Okay, and Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, as he always does, right? He's our frequent flyer. And Rav Dimi says, yes, the our Mishnah is discussing minchas chote, and it's going like the opinion of Rav Elazar. And that's why in our Mishnah, you see only the burning of the comets, meaning If our Mishnah, let's put this, I'll put it a different way. If our Mishnah was really subscribing to the view of Rebbe Lazar, where's the Lavona? Where's the Lavona in the Mishnah? Because remember, according to Rebbe Lazar, it's not significant until you burn everything, and everything means Kometz and Lavona. Answer, because our Mishnah is not talking about a Mincha that has Lavona with it. Our Mishnah is only talking about a Mincha Schorte.
What happens to the oil? Anybody answer?
The oil's there, and by Minchas Chote, there's oil. There's no Lavona. By the Sota, there's no oil, and there's no...
I understand, but now when you're mentioning it, you're saying only two ingredients. What happened to oil now?
The oil was mixed in. Oil was mixed in with the flour. Hadam Rav Lav Milsi Hidamri, Detanya. Okay. Rava himself has a full retraction, meaning, if you remember now, okay, I know this was somewhat of a complex day, but basically... I'll tell you the truth. It is complicated, but there really is, it is focused because it really is dealing with one particular issue. The question that we started with and the question that we're going to end with today is, if I have a mincha, that after I do the kmitza, some of the shirayim now has been removed, so it's chaser, it's puzzle, it's disqualified. So what do? I'm supposed to go forward with the kmitza. Is that an effective kmitza? That's the question. Meaning, is that kmitza going to lift the isser of me'ila? Is that kmitza going to render the, with a machshava of chutzas mano? Is it going to render the shirayim pigle? Okay? So those are the questions of the day. And that's really it. Meaning, that's our question for today. So, we try to connect it to the machlokas Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Akiva regarding a carbon that was shechted, and I'm sorry, regarding a shlamim where the meat was taken outside, in a psiliotze. The Gemara says, no, that's no good. We try to learn out from the Brice of Rebbe Chia where he doesn't discuss the words, O Kizayas. He left that out of his Brice. Why? So Rav and Abaye, speculate in terms of why he left it out. And the Gemara concludes that Abai is right in this particular regard, that the reason why I left it out is because he subscribes to the viewpoint of Rebbe Lazar. So we're really back to the basics. What's going to be with this kometz of a mincha where it's disqualified through the psul of chaser? So the Gemara says, Hadamar Rava. Rava says, you know what? I'm going to change my tune. Lav milsi da amri. Right? Remember what I said? I was arguing that it's good, it's effective, it works. Okay, I disagree with myself. I retract. I thought about it more and I changed my mind. Ditanya. Kodesh kadashim ishim nifrasa achas mem chalosea kulam psulos. Okay. By the lechem upon him, right? The 12 loaves of bread. So, there is a kmitza. Right, this topic has come up a lot in the first parak. The kmitza of the lechem upon him is your two spoonfuls of lavona. Okay, now if one of the breads break, so I'm missing one of the breads. Well, this okay, good. Right, what we're talking about, the psul of chaser, of deficiency. So ishim nifrasa achas mehem chalosea kulam psulas, they all are puzzle. Meaning the 12 loaves of bread are treated like one unit, and they all become puzzle. Hayatzasas. Hani diika gavai ksheros. So if one of them were taken out, so that which is left over is kosher. Now the Mishnah doesn't say that, but how come the Mishnah talks about the psul of chaser? Seems to be that we're trying to, the Mishnah is speaking, allowing us to make the following deduction. That if one of the loaves was taken out, I could still go ahead and do the kmitza. Man shamalei damar zrikam olos yotzei. Now who is that? Right? Whose opinion is that? That if it was taken out, I can go ahead and I can go forward with the kmitza, or I should say rather the zrikat sadam. That's Rabbi Akiva, the kamar nifras alo. And meanwhile, it's the same Rabbi Akiva now who's saying that if it's a different psul, specifically the psul of the psul of chaser, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't be good. So Amalei Abai Mikitani Hayatsa Delma Hanitmas Hanichsheros. So the Gemara says, Abai says to Rava, no, I disagree with you over here as well, because you made a diuk, you made a deduction. Since the psul that we're talking about over here is chaser, so you thought, oh, but things would be different if the psul was yotzei, but it didn't say that. Maybe, but I'm allowing for a diuk as well. Maybe the diuk should be chaser is no good. Tamei would be okay. Meaning I can go forward with the kmitza, right? In this case, the burning of the two spoonfuls of the lavona, if the psul was tamei. Well, why should tummy be different? Right. Well, why should tummy be different? My tama, the meratzah sits. Oh, because remember, by tame, you have your sits. That sits is meratzah. That sits allows for tame to work. So now, if it was taken out, it wouldn't be good. And that would mean because we subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Lazar. So why wasn't it included? Because nifrasa is even a bigger chiddush. Nifrasa, what happens? One of the breads break. I see it. I mean, I'm looking at the broken piece of bread. It's on the floor over there. You could have made the argument that, okay, it's good enough. It's, you know, it's still there. You could have made it. So that's why the Mishnah went to that case, because it's a bigger chiddush, even according to Rabbi Lazar. But according to Rabbi Kiva, who says that Zrika helps for Yotzei, even if it's chaser, it would work as well. So nami mahanyalei aktara. So again, even on this last proof that the Gemara brought between as far as the lechem upon him, where one of the loaves was broken, and we said you can't go forward. So we tried to relate this back to the machlokas, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lazar, and again, it doesn't happen. This case over here doesn't necessarily relate to Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Lazar, okay? And the Gemara leaves this question totally unresolved, okay? So, right, somewhat frustrating, but still got through the Gemara. Question on the table: what happens if? How effective is this kamitza? Where the shiraim is chaser, the shiraim is depleted. So I know I got to go forward with the kamitza. I know I can't eat the shiraim. So is the kamitza a legal kamitza? Is it going to lift the me'ila? Is it going to allow pickle to take place? Gemara basically says, I don't know. Right? I know what Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lazar say in a related case, in Zvachim, but it maybe that case over there doesn't translate to our case over here. And the Gemara ends off basically with the words, but take them. Tishbi Yitaritz Kushas V'Abayas.